Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
And the Bruins get a skate on it, and they'll exit the puck. Now we've got a stop as Rask is down in the blue paint. 18:48 left here in the first, and we're scoreless. And yep. Don Del Negro would start to jog on the ice.
He might have taken an elbow or a shot up high from Bemstrom. Bemstrom came through the crease area and caught him with a bit of an elbow up high. And Bruins now having a long conversation with Bemstrom going after him. They just realized it. It was behind the play. Nobody saw it. He was coming back through the crease. Hard to tell whether it was intentional or not, but Halak's going to have to come in. He's going to have to go get checked out.
Autoerotic asphyxiation. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That is...
Hey, you're on.
There we go.
Yeah,
I
you're...
like
the
NXS.
Yeah, I didn't say you didn't like an NXS. I'm just saying that their singer died from erotic erotic auto asphyxiation.
How long ago? That was a long time ago.
Yeah. But every time I hear them, I just think of sweet, sweet autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah. It does.
You know? Some of us need to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
All right. So something I'd never say in the modern NHL is that a team needs... a bruiser. It seems like the way that the league's going is that fighting is way down, and that
significantly,
and you can't waste fourth line guys anymore. You can't waste them on, you know, just guys that are going to fight. You need to have skill on all four lines.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but the Bruins need someone
who can do both.
Well, yeah, obviously they got to be able to play, but they need someone who can fight.
Teams have been taking liberties with the Bruins all season long. We've seen this. We've seen it with Pastrnak. And last night, if having your number one goalie get knocked out of a game with a concussion doesn't bring retribution, then what does?
So the question becomes.
By a rookie, by the way.
Yeah. First of all, Bemstrom, the most penalties, minutes and penalties he's ever had in his very short career, and I'm talking about juniors and whatever, was 35 one season in the Swedish league. I think it was either the elite league or the elite junior league, like when he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I pride myself on trying to get to know players, you know, from around the league regularly.
You don't know anything about this guy.
I know nothing about. I mean,
does it matter?
No. Hold on a second. That doesn't matter at all. My point is, I'll call a coach. You use the internet and you look it up, and I'm like, well, first of all, Columbus has 8 guys out of their lineup. So they've got basically, they're called the Cleveland Monsters. Mm-hmm. That's their American League team, their version of the P Bruins. And they've got 8 guys up plus their goalie, was their backup, Elvis. And so to learn this whole team, to know what all these guys are about, has been kind of hard. I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, Bemstrom? The other day, I'm like, who the hell's Bemstrom? So then he does this play and he hits Tuca. And I'm like, who? And he's 5'11", maybe 6 foot, 180 pound. And I'm looking at his minutes and penalties to say, does he have any of this rat in him type of thing? Like, I thought, and we're going to talk about it more. I thought he didn't do enough to try and avoid it.
Okay. Seems like a sneaky play,
right, sneaky.
That someone would
now
try to get away with.
Right. So that was my initial thing. And I start going down his bio and I'm looking and I'm like, what? And he doesn't. I mean, I don't know his game at all. Put that aside now, because I know where you guys are going to go. With that said, Carlos says he asked him to fight. You could see it. He asked him. Let's go. Carlos 6'5". The kid's 5'11", or 6 foot. He's not going to go with Carlo. Not going to.
Okay, so fair enough. Carlo asked him to go, and he's not going to go. We all know that.
Nordstrom tried.
Yeah.
Sweet crime.
That's right. That would be a slap fight. But then, once that happens, and I know it was behind the play,
yep.
Don't you,
It's almost beyond asking to go
all,
stage.
All these chicks keep texting the T.
Like, think about it. There's two different situations.
Did you say pee Bruins?
Well, John and I were talking about this. There's two different situations that I could see justifying going beyond let's go. And that is you knock Patrice Bergeron out of the game, and the other one being you knock Tuukka Rask out of the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and the fact that their retaliation, and I heard that, is it the Charlie Coyle clip you were playing? Because, well, we didn't know what had happened at the time. However, they did find
out in the second period, but that's when they started to try to.
But that's not enough. That is
hold on.
Just go.
Okay,
Billy, explain why.
Hold on.
Okay, so the problem is this, okay?
Yeah. There is. I'm with you, but.
Okay, and I know what you're going to say. But my problem is that in the moment, they see Rask is coming out. There's got to be, you got to take a run at the guy at that moment. Now, you're going to say that they found out in the intermission and then they tried to fight.
Well, that's only a little. First of all, I wonder if somebody on the bench, I mean, they all have iPads on the bench. Now, every bench, every arena is different. Some of them have monitors right in it. Some have teams that have iPads on the bench. It has to be equal and everything. I don't know the setup at Nationwide where they were. So I'm guessing that most of them, if not all, didn't see something in right away. Otherwise, I would have thought that somebody would have gone ape, you know what, and tried to get somebody.
But now, they didn't. And it's a
So maybe they didn't know.
Okay.
But it's been happening. But Rich is right.
Now what Rich is saying is, but this is also though, but that is a whole different, it really is, Rich. I know, I agree with you, bud. They need that physical, they need a homegrown if they can.
Trent Frederick.
If he can find a way to have an impact, that kind of physical impact, and be able to play 10, 12 minutes regularly.
Don't you call him
absolutely
up? Don't you call Trent Frederick up? Trent Frederick is in Providence and he's can fight.
Yeah, I mean, he's fought a lot down there. He's actually trending towards 200 minutes in penalties this year.
Yeah, so
in the American League. Do you give him a go, maybe? Yeah,
just for optically, a trial period.
Optics.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not against it, especially considering, see, to me, one of the big things that this team, I got to be honest. Look, this thing with Tuukka bothered the heck out of me.
Yeah.
The heck. You know what bothered me in a different way as much? That game the night before when they were up 5-2 and they didn't have the energy and they became, whoa. And then meaning they need some energy. So if that's Trent Frederick coming up and saying, I'm going to be a son of a gun up here and I'm going to run a bit, but I'm going to be willing. Now, he may put himself in scenarios. He's a big boy himself, but there's going to be some bigger guys that will come out.
It doesn't matter. There is a perception right now across the league that, A, you can make a run on important players with the Bruins, and B, that they are soft, and that there's going to be no retaliation. So much so that I mentioned this during the break. They were getting mocked by the Columbus Blue Jackets Twitter.
No, I didn't. What did they?
After Rask got knocked out and there was no retaliation, they wrote, "Love to see the boys defending our Tendy," with a emoji face blowing smoke.
Oh, so when Merzlikins, their goalie, they were saying when there was a scrum around their goaltender.
Yeah, like, we defend our guy. The Bruins obviously don't do a good job doing that.
You know,
are the Bruins soft? Is this team soft?
They're not physical enough right now. They're not physical enough. And in the sense, there's a difference between being big and, you know, slow and tough, which we know isn't happening anymore. And being able to play in one of the, like, if they were to get into a heavy physical series,
yes,
which we saw last year against St. Louis, but
absolutely,
but you can easily make the argument. Three of the seven games when they played their game, they were able to play their game. They were the better team.
Yeah, but
when they weren't able to get to their game, they were worn down by the physical play.
The talent on the Bruins, and you know this, was phenomenally
ridiculous
than what was going on.
Despite Patrice being basically non-existent during the series.
It doesn't matter. St. Louis isn't like a loaded team. I mean, the talent.
No, when St. Louis initiated the physical game and they executed the physical game, they bullied them around. They were able to execute more and better. Absolutely. No question. The Bruins, listen, they have a smaller lineup in certain places now. You know, they have some smaller D-men. And I know we all say this, and we unfortunately have to stop saying this because we all love Kevin Miller. We know what he stands. We know what he's about.
We just don't know if he'll come back.
And not only do we know if come back, but will he be able to stay healthy? And the other thing is this. He's not in the lineup. So you can't say if. Right. Meaning it just you can't right now. So it's it's getting to the point where a little aggressiveness could go a long way.
Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Jaffe, I know you're getting fired up and getting really, you know, into it, but, I mean, dropping heck and darn, I mean, watch your mouth, buddy.
I know. We're going to have to find you with a swear jar.
It's Pleasantville.
He's comparing you to Dan Roach.
Sorry.
Gee whiz.
I almost bit my tongue two games ago when I was perplexed, like, about what was going on the air. Uh-huh. And I almost dropped the word on Ness, and I'm like, oh, God, don't do that, you know? And so...
You've been hanging out with Dale Arnold too much. You've turned into Ned Flanders.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a freaking mess. Sorry,
what the H-E double hockey stick is going on here?
I mean, I'll tell you what, that guy is talking all kinds of junk. He's a regular Weisenheimer. That's right, you have to work with Dale.
I'm trying to keep... employed.
Yes. No, I don't blame you. Don't blame
you. Employed. Don't worry. You're surrounded by such great talent. All right. We will be back with Billy Jaffe, who's not looking at me with a very nice face. We will be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's an elbow in the head. It's a penalty. It's what it is. But they missed it, so you move on. And it's just unfortunate it happens to your number one. It was pretty clear to me. Should have been a better response. I think there could have been. Yeah, but I don't know if they saw it in real time. Pointed out after the first period that, you know, that our goaltender got bumped. But, I mean, listen, it's a little bit late then. You can't, you know, take the law into your own hands. You can certainly address it with the player on the ice if you felt it was, you know, inappropriate. I think some of our guys did that, but you got to get back to playing.
Yeah, they gave him the what for.
Well, but...
Billy Jaffe.
Billy Jaffe in studio. Hang on, real quick. Sorry. I have him on all the time because he's offered my 11-year-old son a scholarship already. He's a tall lefty. He's like, I got to have this kid come in.
Tall lefty, yeah.
Yeah. Mike Gambino, who's become a good friend of mine, he did not ask for this promotion, but I love the BC baseball program. So very quickly, Mr. Gambino, what is going on?
What's going on? I appreciate you having me in. And, it's a little bit crazy that the recruiting process has started with 11-year-olds, but we're really excited about your son getting here in 10 years.
Thank you. You'll have to ignore his grades. But, yes, but I do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. And I know that we texted a little bit yesterday. We have tomorrow night. We have our big event down at Fenway Park, baseball night in Boston, which is – we're 28 years of it this year, and it's a pretty cool, fun night. Kevin Youkilis is our speaker this year. Over the last couple of years, we've had Pedro Martinez, Kurt Schilling, Dave Dombrowski, Tommy Lasorda. You know, these are kind of the speakers that we have come in, and it's a really cool, fun night. A bunch of our former players are there, alumni, fans. Our team is there, and it's just people kind of hanging out and talking about baseball and getting excited. First for the college baseball season, which then we open up in a month, and that's also about the same time as pitchers and catchers report. So it's a cool, fun night down at Fenway Park.
All right. How did people get tickets to this event?
Go right to the website, bc.edu, and then go right to the baseball page, and all the information will be on there.
Okay. So bc.edu, go to the baseball page and get yourself into this. If you're a fan of Veritech and the game of baseball, Fenway Park. Tomorrow night.
Or Kevin Youkilis, right?
All right, I said Kevin Youkilis.
Yeah, what did I say? You said Veritech.
Same difference.
You got Veritech on the mind because he's going to be the new manager.
That's right. Kevin Youkilis, yes. He's a hero to many people in Newton.
And craft beer salesman. He's big into that.
Absolutely.
He's married to Brady's sister.
Yes, that is correct. He is.
Mm-hmm. And he is, much like Billy Jaffe, a Jewish athlete.
That is true.
That's absolutely true.
Jewish Hall of Famer, I believe.
I would say so. All right. Well,
I'll tell you what, if you haven't had his beer yet, the beer's really good, too.
What's his beer called?
Loma, L-O-M-A. It's really good. He's got a Pilsner IPA, which is great, and then he had to go with the Greek God of Hops is kind of his signature one.
All right, Gambino, lay off the sauce a little bit. All right, bc.edu, go to the baseball page. Thank you, Mr. Gambino.
See you, Mike.
Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Very good guy, Mike Gambino.
He is. Unfortunately, the last place I saw him was at Pete's funeral, but he went up and spoke and did a great job under the circumstances. He was great, but yeah. Good guy.
It's a good take. It doesn't cost anything to get into BC games. It's an
Milo going to live at home while he's there? You can save on tuition.
I'll tell you what.
And housing, I mean.
An academic scholarship is coming. The 5 hours it takes to coax him into doing one thing, it's really going to pan out well.
So you were about to launch into something.
This is what I was going to say.
I played that Cassidy clip there.
This is what I was going to say. And we had a situation the other day in the Edmonton-Calgary game where Zach Cassian didn't like the way Matt Kachuk was going around. And
Cassian was out of his mind.
Yeah.
That was a good hit.
Well, there were...
You didn't think that was a good hit?
First of all, it was more than one hit, Fred.
Okay.
He targeted him twice. And Matthew Kachuk decided he wasn't going to answer for those whatsoever. And he said, well, I don't have to. Those are good hits. And you could make the argument that in this era of the NHL, they weren't good hits. But yet, I don't want to get on the tangent too much. Department of Player Safety deemed that they were legal, I guess. And I said, you know what? To me, they were still kind of predatory, vulnerable. And you know what? Matt Kachuk, a couple of years ago, when he came into the league, was fighting an awful lot.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't want to go with Cassian, who's a big dude.
He's the type of guy that you're...
Right, you're talking about that type of guy that we'd love to see the Bruins have again.
Yeah, Cassian, Cassian, I think, was rumored at one point to be a Bruin.
They're not. I talked to Edmonton Oilers people. I said,
Year. I'm just saying in the past because he was considered a Lucic.
A right shot, big dude, just like that. Anyways.
But Cassian.
He went ballistic.
You want to see a hockey fight.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was one side. One side.
Yeah, but he threw him around, Billy.
I know.
He got on top of him and just started pounding him in the face.
And therefore, he got, and this is my point. I do feel that there's a lot of people out there that said, you know, we'll take a two-game suspension. Because that's what he got yesterday from the NHL. Two games for being not just the combatant, but the sole combatant in that fight. And he did get he did beat the Matt, who just didn't take it or didn't respond. He turtled on it.
He pulled a Lemieux.
And now there's a suspension. But Zach Cassian said yesterday, it was a great quote. I don't know if you have any of that too, but he said, basically, I'll do it again. Because, you know, I've always defended myself. I've always defended my team. I'll always do that. And is that where the Bruins...
Yes.
Because
you know what that fight was? I'm watching it now.
Absolutely.
That wasn't, as you said, hey, want to go. He got hit, got up, grabbed the guy by his back, threw him on the ground, and started unloading on his face.
When was the last time you saw a fight like that?
You know what? I remember what's-his-name tried to do it. Vander Kane tried to do it with Char. Remember that? Tried to pull him down. But then Char, and of course, you know, took care of business. But, I mean, this is great.
Well, this was pure, the word organic anger. Right there. That's real. And that's where
he was mad.
Well, he should have been.
Dude, he got nailed.
But I think that's a legal hit.
It probably is, but it's also if someone does that to you twice.
See, here's the thing now. You're in a different era of the NHL. Supposedly these vulnerable hits, we'll call them blindside, coming from around the net, where a winger drops in from his side all the way down low below the goal line.
Yeah.
You're hitting a guy like that. Holy smokes, legal or not. Now this was borderline, in my opinion.
Fine, fair
borderline.
Enough.
You better be ready because some guy is going to be pissed off.
Especially Cassian.
Then what do you do? Right. Let's just get to the basis of all this. What do the Bruins do?
You call up.
Because there's
you call
two...
Trent Frederick.
My guess is that has to be considered. The other thing is this, and I am not taking... Just, again, hear me out on this. This team's got to find a way to get energy these last three games before the break. The break may be the carrot dangling in front of their eyes right now, and maybe it's a bad thing because they're like, we just want to get to the break, instead of we just want to get to the break kicking ass. I don't know. I don't know. These guys at times, again, the second period, 7 minutes left in that second period against Philadelphia, lost their legs, lost their structure, and lost their battle. Coach, you know, Bruce Cassidy called it unprofessional. That's a strong word coming from your head coach.
Yeah.
Very strong word.
Hey, what's the deal with the shootouts?
Yeah, because we were talking about this. Usually you would not want to have a player who like excels in shootouts, and that shouldn't be a reason you get a guy, because you would think that it wouldn't matter as much. But it's at point where you've got 7 points left on the table, because they're 4 for 29?
4 for 30.
4 for 30.
I'm with you.
0-7. And they were 7-9 combined the previous 3 years. What makes this
I don't
different?
Disagree. And I look, we're all tired. We're all
everyone hates it.
Right. Yeah. I'm still more disappointed, more concerned about the loss of structure and the giving up of the leads and maybe some extended shifts here. Rich, I know what you're saying about the shootout points. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. And I know it could impact their seeding when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And I know it's part of the game, but it really isn't. I'm more concerned about regulation and even overtime. I'm more concerned about those things, and more than anything, giving up leads.
Sure.
That's to me. So I don't get worked up as much about the shootouts.
I'll tell you why I do, is because 3-on-3 overtime I like a lot, but that's essentially a series of breakaways. So you have that.
But that's so different.
But Billy, that's my point. It's different. But so if I have a 3-on-3 overtime for 5 minutes,
yeah,
why the F do I need a shootout after that? I've essentially had a shootout.
I'm with you. None of us want.
I know, but I'm just being logical. Like, you have a shootout essentially in overtime,
right? But what the league says, as you know, is that a shootout in even though it is a as you call it a not a litany, but it's a whole gaggle of breakaways. It's different because there's a guy chasing you. It's in the heat of the moment, and it's a different vibe than saying, listen, we need to get a finite end to this game. Ugh. I have argued for years. I'm fine with ties. I would love to see an overtime go at least 3 more minutes. I'd love to see it. They don't seem to be close to getting that. But the fact is that we have shootouts, and you got to deal with it. You guys might as well have a dunk contest at the end.
Of course, and a
home run derby.
By the way, I'm watching Trent Frederick fight down in Providence, and I mean, he looks like he'd be perfect. Now, tell me a little. Is he good at the game of hockey, or is he just this guy? But is he at least? Can he hang?
He can put skates on.
I think it's
time to see if he can do it.
Right.
Put it that way.
Okay. He came. He was drafted as a late first round pick. I was St. Louis kid out of Wisconsin, part of a great St. Louis crew. I think it was 6 kids picked in the first round, 6 or 5 for sure, maybe 6 that year. Mm-hmm. Amazing crew. Big dude. Not like gargantuan, 6'6", 240, but I think he's 6'2", 210. It's continuing to grow.
Right.
Yeah. Does not shy away from the physical part of it.
Obviously not.
It's all about processing the game and getting ready for the NHL. And can he be a 10-12-minute-a-game guy? He might be better suited at the wing, which is what they moved him to about a month ago. But they've now moved him. They've moved him back and forth between wing and center down in Providence. It's more about, as you said, being able to play a regular shift and when called upon, when the moment is right, and not that he's chasing somebody around the ice, but he's just there to help out because you've got Chara and you've got Brett Ritchie should be doing.
I know Ritchie sucks, but I don't want Chara fighting.
I don't want him doing it regularly ever either, but you have him around
Yeah, and it seems like, too, correct me if I'm wrong, the refs in Providence let the fights go a little bit longer.
Well, the American League, it's a little bit less structured.
These guys are playing for jobs.
Right, they're playing for jobs, but no, right. I just watched this fight between...
I think he's taking it upon himself, Rich.
Some dude from the... I don't even know what this B symbol is. It's
probably
like
Binghamton Senator.
Maybe it is, but this is a good 40-second-long fight where they're throwing haymakers, and it ends with Frederick hitting him right on the chin and knocking the guy out.
This is a guy. You need a big brother out there.
I think he recognized I do. Look, Trent's always been physical, but I do think that he is and I have not been able to get to a Providence game, so I'm not an expert on that. But I believe that he has taken it upon himself, seeing that there could be an opportunity for this type of player with the Bruins to transition into that. Instead of just kind of what you would call a third, fourth line kind of responsible center that can chip in, but now be a power guy that can bring that element out.
And I think now is the time. I think you bring him up now. There's 3 games before the break.
Tell you what, we got three tough games coming up. You got Thursday Sunday.
I think for your team to tell your team, all right, guys, it's time. it's time to get physical. And I'm bringing this kid up, and this kid's going to bust his ass because he wants to stay. And he realizes he realizes to stay, yeah, he's got to be exceptionally physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think now's the time. And then I just think now's the time. Does he have to stay on the roster, for the entire season? Absolutely not.
Just tweeted out a clip of him. Do yourself a favor. Go to @Tutcher and Rich and watch this fight.
Watch the Cassian fight first. Because
I did, and the Cassian fight's great.
I mean, it's insanity.
But they don't have access to him. They have access to Trent Frederick.
Yeah, well, right. The Cassian fight is...
And that's the thing, as I finish up here, the game has changed so significantly that you don't have many kids nowadays as youngsters coming up that say, I'm going to be an aggressive power fight, not fighter forward, but a power forward with that real physical edge. Because everybody has a personal skills coach since the age of about 10, where they learn how to toe drag, or in other sport, you know, there's an equivalent in every other sport too.
Not at 10.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. And so now everybody can do these things. And until they're about maybe 18, then when they get the lesson of you're going to have to do this if you want to make it. But meanwhile, there isn't much of that anymore, meaning there isn't that much. So a Cassian is, even though he was traded, he had some personal issues. That's why he was made available. Edmonton ended up getting him. But a lot of these guys, Josh Anderson hasn't played for Columbus. He's been injured. He's homegrown there. Tom Wilson, he's homegrown with the Washington Capitals. The Bees, maybe they have a homegrown guy like that in Frederick. Maybe they still need to go get another one.
The days of like Thornton where he hated it, but he had the fight starting in juniors. I mean, it's funny you fight that much and just despise it. Like Bobby Robbins.
Yeah.
Stu Grimson, who was one of the great fighters of his generation.
Have you seen his hands?
Yeah, I work with him.
They're calcified completely.
Hates it.
Oh, they all hate it.
Hated it. Still hates it. It's that day in, day out.
Then I'm going to have to fight.
And they literally would sit in the room with a sheet of paper. If they were in the league long enough, they knew on the other team who they were going to. But if they were going into a town, if Stu was going into a town and he didn't know maybe who somebody, one of these guys was called up, and all of a sudden he sees, well, who is this guy? And then they'd look and they'd see in the American League he had 282 minutes in penalties in the first 40 games. You'd be like, okay.
Grimson on a team with Probert and Kosher? I think he might have been.
Well, Proby and Joey Kosert were on the same team.
Yeah.
Stu had to fight them. He wasn't on there.
Stu was on the Red Wings at one point.
At one point as well. Yeah. I don't know if all three were. One of the toughest teams ever was when the Buffalo Sabres had Rob Ray and Brad May and Matthew Barnaby.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes. Anyways, those were whole different.
Who do you think the best, and then we'll break, who do you think the best fighter of all time?
I love Bob Probert.
Yeah, Probert.
Probert, and then Ty Domi. Ty Domi for 5'10".
Ty Domi beat up Probert one time.
Yeah, well, they went, Ty Domi's head and forehead, the hardest thing around, and he would get you somehow on the inside, and he would take punches. Bob Probert.
Probert made an all-star game.
But he had 30-plus goals that year.
No, he made it for real. Like,
yeah, legit.
Not a John Scott embarrassment.
No.
Yeah,
Proby all the time would take about 6, 7, 8 punches, and I've said this on your show before, guys, and he'd wake up like a hibernating bear, and I'd be like, okay, I'm awake.
Cocaine hit him.
Let's go. Maybe. Yeah, and then the guys would always tell me that Joey Kosher had the biggest, strongest, meanest hands, fists in the business, and he wouldn't hit you straight on. He wouldn't punch you with his knuckles. He would turn it to his side, and he would, like a jackhammer, hit you in the side of the head. I remember, never forget this, Mike Hartman, who was a pretty tough kid in his time too, told me one time he took a hit to the side of the head, the ear area where it's exposed. He couldn't hear for 3 days because Kosher hit him so hard.
Yeah, Kosher.
He might have been the hardest puncher of that era.
His hands are all, like, and if you don't know what calcification of the hands is that their knuckles
massive.
They're just fused.
I know. But
it's
also
like two clubs.
Literally jackhammers. That's how his hands were described.
Man. All right. There you go. So, look at @Tutcher and Rich. You can see Trent Frederick, who they could use right now.
All right, Thursday.
All right.
Sunday, Tuesday, then a break. But they got a lot of hockey left before then.
All right. You can catch Billy Jaffe on Nesson. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
You know, I'll give it to Tommy Curran. He made me belly laugh last night. I was watching the NBC.
I'm becoming a fan of Tommy Curran over the last couple years.
He's been really good. So at NBC Sports Boston last night, they brought him on to talk about a report that there was a gentleman at WEEI who was saying that he really, by the way, like wanting credit for it. As a matter of fact, after he tweeted out the information, he put, please credit me during all of this. And his report was that Tom Brady and Giselle had moved into their new home in Connecticut and that the family suite at Gillette Stadium had been cleaned out like never before. Like it was like as spick and span as you can get. So when the clip was played for Tommy
Curran, except for one sign that said, bless this mess.
Right. I mean, they still left that up there. You know, all their little Chanel, you know, as they said, the Randy Moss bobblehead is still there. But when they played the clip for Tommy Curran, he's sitting there listening to it where over at EI, they're saying that they moved into their home in Connecticut, Tom Brady and his wife. Please excuse the music in the background, but this is what they put online, but I don't care. This was Tommy Curran's response.
Well, why don't I tell you what I know?
Okay.
They don't have a house in Connecticut. That's it.
So it's hard to move to your house in Connecticut.
You don't have one. They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Join the club.
It's something that I was told a few weeks ago. I never had an occasion to really to share it because it was, you know, a lot going on with the football games. And when you go, hey, Tom Brady has no house in Connecticut. But then today I circled back. I said, all right. So there's no house. No, with someone else. Okay, is there a condo? And I'm getting a semantic. There's a very large apartment that the family has in New York City.
Which they've had.
And there's a home in Brooklyn.
Right.
They're not living in New York City. They're still in Brooklyn.
Listen, I can only tell you there's no house in Connecticut.
There you go.
he started laughing. Like he was just laughing like, they're not in Connecticut because they don't have a house in Connecticut. I don't know where this story is coming from.
And he went so far as
to go scoops
to see if they had, if it was semantics and they had a townhome or something.
Then he started making fun of how do you prove that the little suite that they had at Gillette was cleaned out like never before? Like, did they interview the maids?
There was a guy that was just hanging out.
It's a dude like never before, man.
Yeah, it said kiss the cook. They had the apron.
No, it was the white glove. They just got the white glove. There wasn't as much dust as there was before. They used Swiffers on this time. So, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been announced, the official class for this year. And, Fred, then here is your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. You like rock and roll?
I do. I love rock and roll.
Here's some rock and or roll.
And I will always
take a poo.
All right. I don't mean to be that guy. But there's literally nothing rock and roll about Whitney Houston's music.
They've kind of abandoned.
Nothing.
Is Aretha Franklin in?
Like, well, at least, okay, Aretha kind of Franklin, you can say, was kind of like a funk era, and it was like the build-up, and there was like live band. There is nothing rock and roll
she's
about
in.
Whitney Houston's music.
She got elected.
She's in.
Okay. You know what's weird is that, and it almost seems dreamlike, is that on more than one occasion, I hung out with Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown.
Sure.
While they were held up, there was a palm at this Westin Hotel where they were holed up, where they were like doing these huge crack binges.
Really? Well, you found out, you're like, crack is work. When she did that interview and she lost her voice on like 60 Minutes,
I didn't know that she was doing crack, but we got free drinks back in Atlanta where you got things for free. I got free drinks there. So like I would sit at the bar and end up like engaging. I mean, we weren't friends, but they like knew who I was, not what I did for a living, but they were like, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so her engagement ring.
It's like a baseball, wasn't it?
It was literally the size of a golf ball.
Yeah.
The diamond in it.
Insane.
It's the most insane thing. It's more insane than that dude from the Celtics that had a picture of
Marquise Daniels. It was his own head.
Yes.
Yeah, you see, Aretha Franklin, I understand, because that's the birth of the R&B. Like, I get that. That's like a kind of a rock and roll type thing. I even get, like, the pioneers of rap, because that's kind of like the rock and roll attitude. You built something out of nothing. But Whitney Houston, there is
Live Davis
zero,
has a lot of pull.
There is zero having anything to do with rock and roll.
Well,
with
I stayed at a hotel that in Cleveland when I was going to a Jets Browns game that was directly next to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
I did not
attend the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And
speaking
Country Music Hall of Fame is great;
it's the best. But I would go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But here's someone who else is going to be in it. I got no problem with that. I don't care. I don't mind the Notorious B.I.G. I don't care.
Hey, I'm not particularly care about any of this.
And then somebody else in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
T-Rex, they had one song.
What else did T-Rex do?
I don't know. They influenced Motley Crue.
Okay, I guess so. T-Rex.
You know what? I wasn't going to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but now that T-Rex is in.
Is anyone going to... They're all dead, aren't they? T-Rex, Whitney Houston, and Notorious B.I.G.?
I don't know. No,
B.I.G. is still alive.
That's going to be... Yeah, well, we all know that. We've seen him around. He is. And then this artist, right? All right, you got to put them in.
They were huge. Yep. They
defined, like, the 80s alternative sound.
And then they have one of my favorite songs. What is it? I think that God's got a sixth sense of humor, and if I die, expect to find him laughing.
The video with the king walking around the countryside in Ireland always freaks me out.
No, that's not Master.
Master and Servant. No. Let's play.
I think it was off their first record.
Don't
know that song?
And no,
I think
no.
that God's got a sixth sense of humor.
Nope, I don't know that one, but we do know this one. Yeah. You know,
I don't think they're deserving, but
dude, they're like the biggest band. I mean, think of what they spawned. I mean, like the electronic music movement. They are one of arguably the biggest band of that movement. And on top of that, I will say this though: as much as I like Nine Inch Nails, I like Trent Reznor as a movie composer even better. Like the music he does for movies and TV. Matter of fact, if you watch Watchmen on HBO, that is one of the best parts of the show, is just the music that he writes. And then finally...
He also his music on Full House.
Right.
Yes, as a matter of fact. But finally, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame...
I want to know which one you play here.
The final inductee... You better let this go.
Oh. I know where
this
is.
Wow, the Doobie Brothers. I can't believe you're actually playing right here in our high school auditorium.
No.
You're trying to sneak it in. I respect the hell out of that.
Sometimes what's happening, there might be a reason to put Catherine Tappan inside of
That's why I have a board in front of me.
That was great.
If there's any reason to have a board in front of me, it's to stop what's happening.
I mean, sometimes.
Give it the old college try.
That was a two-part episode. First of all, there's nothing more than Black Kids in Watts than the Doobie Brothers.
Sure.
That's right. And so they played, like, they're like, hey, the Doobie Brothers are playing our high school. And and all the kids in Watts were like, wow, we're really big fans of the Doobie Brothers. And then Rerun had a reel-to-reel recorder that he put under his shirt.
Yeah, he was paid by some guys to smuggle that in. And what was the line at the end? I can't believe I spent all that money for a recording of some fat kid eating popcorn or something like that.
Or when they answer the door and they go, which doobie you be?
That's right.
What's happening?
I had to turn off three buttons. There.
God bless you.
Trying to find the right button.
God bless you, Rich. That was great.
Just, I mean, listen, you can't play it all the time. But every once in a while, you can get yourself a little.
Listen, I'm all for the know your fro.
All right, my question to you. Apparently, Motorhead was close and didn't get in.
Okay, here's the ones who didn't get in.
Apparently, Motorhead was close and did not get in.
Here's the biggest sins. So Motorhead didn't get in. That's insane. I mean, they were one of the forefathers of metal. Like, yes. There would be no Metallica if it wasn't for Motorhead.
Even if it just was Hawkwind.
Judas Priest not in.
How the hell is Judas Priest not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
And Soundgarden.
Whoa.
I know.
Slow down. Slow your roll.
Mm-hmm.
Judas Priest isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Nope. Is Metallica in the Hall of Fame? They have to be.
Judas Priest isn't in the... How many metal bands are in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. But they are not, which is wrong. I have no idea why they're not in.
Well, I don't know. They've just been making music for 40 years. I guess that's not enough. You got to pop in, you know, the
Metallica.
Doobie
Brothers. Metallica went in about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Different strokes.
All right. What else?
What else for the store? Oh, No. Who else? Oh, yeah. And Soundgarden. By the way, they're not in as well.
Soundgarden.
They didn't get in.
No, Soundgarden deserves to be in, but there's nothing more egregious than Judas Priest not being the rock and roll.
Well, like, Motorhead deserves it more than Judas Priest.
But are
Judas
you Priest kidding me?
No, I
Judas
do not.
Judas Priest was a multi-platinum seller.
I understand that, but think of the bands that would not be here if it wasn't for
but
Motorhead.
But they were contemporaries of Motorhead. In fact, they were before Motorhead.
Well, Judas Priest deserves to be in.
Sad Wings of Destiny is a great record.
This is why I don't get all worked up about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anymore, because it's not a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No, I was just saying
it's a music Hall of Fame.
We play Whitney Houston. I'm like, there is zero about Whitney Houston that's rock and roll.
It's look, I've never been there. I'll probably go one day.
If I'm in Cleveland, I'm going to go.
I'm sure I would.
I stayed next to it. I stayed at a hotel right next to it and didn't go in.
So that's rock and roll.
You should be in the Hall of Fame.
I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame. It was great. But what am I going to see in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'm sure there's like
John Lennon's boots.
I'm sure there's some funny exhibits in there.
But if you take it from just the Music convention. Hall of Fame, I could make the case that some of these bands deserve to get in over others. Now, the fact that they still call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Judas Priest and Soundgarden and Motorhead aren't in it.
Yeah, it's insane.
Whatever. It's useless to me. It's not worthy of the conversation.
I was more surprised than anything else.
Soundgarden.
But that's in. There's zero.
I just assumed Judas Priest was like one of the first bands they put in.
Nope, not in.
You listen to like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame radio on the satellite, and they'll play like all the bands like from the Influencers, and it's like, so you know, Nine Inch Nails, for instance, is in the same Music Hall of Fame as the Only You. What is this crap? This is stupid.
All right, so you guys have a great show. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.